This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And good morning to you and a happy Friday. Here from 93.7 The Fan, live and local, at least I am, from our Green Tree Studios. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole with you to about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show. It's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 5:04 on a Friday morning. Again, I say at least I am because I'm still here in our Green Tree Studios, but if you continue to tune in throughout the morning until 10 a.m. you'll hear, well, and throughout most of the day, you'll hear a bunch of people from home broadcasting. And that's where we've been over the last couple days. That's where we'll continue to be to finish up this week. And I'm sure next week will be much of the same. Chris Mack will be doing the show from his house. Colin Dunlap from his house. Jim Colony on updates from his house. So we're all spread out, but we're all still doing our jobs and still providing at least some sports entertainment for you and during these times. And again, you know, finishing up yet another week. And I know, you know, things have probably been tough for you. So we are here to provide that relief. And so let's get right into it, into, you know, what we have to react to in the sports world and just the different angles and storylines to be taking place right now, even without, well, you know, live events, and hopefully you found some entertainment in it. And today I want to talk about two Steelers to start the show today that have been highlighted this offseason and continue to be, I think. There's been the running storylines for both of these men being brought into the organization. And I'll start first with a guy who we actually heard his voice yesterday for the first time as a Pittsburgh Steeler, and that's Derek Watt. And I feel like people are a little on edge about Derek Watt, which I don't know if that is because we love the Steelers and because Steeler fans will react to anything, even if it's a fullback coming into the organization, or if this is like coronavirus conversation because we don't have much else to talk about and because he's new. He was just brought in last week, and because of his last name, it creates conversation. You know, we love to talk about it. Either way, I feel like fans are either really excited to see another Watt come in, and they're really excited to for the, you know, the brothers to hang out and play together and see that dynamic and think all will be good, and you know, he'll be in and he'll be, you know, a great special teamer. He'll be a great teammate and, you know, it's all going to work out. That's kind of the positive outlook on one side of it. And then if it's possible for a fullback to be polarizing, there is another side of the conversation where the people that maybe look beyond the brothers aspect and, you know, the camaraderie that we might see, look at kind of the business side of it and think that he'll never live up to the contract that he was given, the 3 years, almost $10 million, especially in an offseason that, you know, where the Steelers are already tied up against the cap. You know, not that it's that much different from previous years, but you saw a lot of shedding money and shedding contracts, and then they signed this one for a special teamer slash maybe fullback. I don't know if he will totally be resented because of his name, but everyone is trying to figure out his role. And you're like, what the heck is this guy brought in for? And why at that figure? And Watt talked about that in a conference call yesterday about, well, just what his role is going to be on the team.
I'm not entirely sure what the outlook of the game plan looks like. I know when I talked to Coach Tomlin briefly, he said we'll get into that later and kind of he'll lay out the plan they have for me.
So there you go. He completely cleared that up, right? I mean, how can he at this point? It's March, whatever. What is it? The 27th. He's not going to know. Mike Tomlin's probably not going to know. Maybe Matt Canada or maybe, you know, Randy Feitner. Maybe he knows. But I think there's a middle ground to be reached here with Derek Watt. As is the case with most polarizing players or polarizing topics, I don't think that Watt will be purely a special teamer. I think it would be kind of silly to think that the Steelers would only have him on special teams if they're paying him that much. And they will want to at least try to see what he can do for the offense. And it gives me a little bit of confidence in what Watt had to say, continued on in his conference call, about his work and his past history as a tight end, and not just in high school or in college or when he first broke into the league, but as recently as last season in LA with the Chargers. Here's Watt on that.
We did a lot of it during those times and sometimes throughout the season, especially if our numbers got kind of low. I was our reserve tight end. And my running backs coach told me, he just continually told me that just, he knows and would trust me if I had to go in there and do any tight end stuff.
So I'm sure he'll relay that to the coaching staff, and that shows at least the ability to catch the ball and do some different things. I'm not saying that he's going to be a tight end, especially with Eric Ebron being brought in and Vance McDonald. I mean, that's silly to think. But that experience there at least shows me that he can at least catch a football. And it's not just about blocking. It's maybe not the Rosie Nix role that we saw him have, even though he did that very well. And I'd still like to see at least some of that from Derek Watt. And maybe if he's good enough, he can eliminate the need for a guy like Jalen Samuels, or at least make him expendable, the pass catching back. And maybe that allows them to go get a power horse running back in this draft if they don't have to hang on to Jalen Samuels, like Jonathan Taylor or J.K. Dobbins or Cam Akers from Florida State, any of these guys being kind of bandied about in the second round, or maybe even in the third round in the case of Akers. I think that's kind of the best case scenario of Watt filling as many roles and putting on as many hats as he can. He won't be resented because of who he is and the family he comes from, but this storyline might not go away. And honestly, if we get into the middle of the season and Derek Watt is one of the concerns about the Steelers, things are going pretty well. If that is at the top of people's minds once we get into even October and certainly into November and December, then I think we're in pretty good shape here if we're still worried about the role and the contract of Derek Watt. All right, and the other player that I want to get into just a little bit here before I wrap up this first segment to start the morning today is Eric Ebron. And I think we may see and we may be in for some frustration. And you've heard that be kind of the talking points, I think, since he's been brought in. If you listen to the Fan Morning Show earlier this week, Bob Kravitz came in. Came onto the show from The Athletic, longtime Colts writer. Guy's more plugged in than pretty much anybody else on the planet about the Indianapolis Colts. And talked about Ebron and said, hey, they felt like he quit on them last year. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows for Ebron and the Colts. And really, Chris Ballard, the GM there, was just about done with them and was ready to move on. And that's part of the reason why he's coming to Pittsburgh. There's a reason that he always has another tight end on the roster with him, no matter where he goes. There's some reliability issues at play. And I've said before that, you know, once you get past the first four or five top tight ends in the league, you're going to find that with anybody. but that's especially true with Ebron in this case. And I think it's important to have the right expectations here. Like, this isn't who the Cleveland Browns have brought in at the position, in Austin Hooper, who is one of those top four or five guys at the position. They can't, we can't, maybe as fans, can't expect 13 touchdowns just because he did it once with Andrew Luck. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ben go to Vance McDonald more, particularly in the beginning of the season, because simply because he knows him better. And maybe it's going to be a slow implementation of Ebron into the offense. And what does that look like? Does he get frustrated with those kinds of things? And as long as Vance is healthy, of course, he's going to have to share that position, which he isn't. This isn't a foreign concept to him. He did it in Indianapolis with Jack Doyle most recently. Did it in Detroit as well. And that's honestly what they should do with him. He shouldn't have that position all to himself. That shouldn't be his role. But I'm thinking here that I think we have to establish some expectations for him where you can't expect the very best. You can't expect 13 touchdowns. You can't expect, you know, a top 10 tight end season, which I think it's very easy to do whenever you see some of the numbers that he's put up in the past. But I think, again, in kind of meeting a middle ground with him, it can't go all about, you know, he's going to be a, you know, a problem in the locker room. Oh, they're bringing in a guy with some bad character and, you know, this is going to be a disaster. There's also some at least healthy respect for the Steelers in vetting him out before bringing him into the organization. But maybe there might be some tiptoeing. Last year, there wasn't any. You got rid of those issues with Le'Veon Bell out, Antonio Brown out. There, the egos, I guess, were taken out of play, at least on the offensive side of the ball. But now there's at least some character questions being brought into the locker room. And how does that fit in? Does, you know, not that Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have any experience with dealing with guys like this, but what does that do for him and his mindset? Remember before the season how Ben said that he found a new, you know, a new love for football, that he was so excited to get things going again? Remember how curious those comments were? And it was right after Antonio Brown left. He was just happy to be cleansed of all the nonsense. And of course, he got hurt two games in whenever he's most excited for the season. But that was, you know, something that was on Ben Roethlisberger's mind. And now I'm not saying that Ebron is Antonio Brown. I don't think anybody is as far as the level of personality there. But maybe it's someone you've got to deal with and that you've got to kind of coax along the way, and you've got to watch out if he's, you know, when he's logging into his Twitter or to his Instagram, or what exactly he's saying to those reporters when they're, you know, sticking their microphones in his face after a game or after a practice. Maybe that's in the back of their mind again. And I wonder what that element does, and especially for a guy who's sharing time at the position. So I'm not going to say he's a problem or that he's going to be a problem, but at least the possibility of him being a problem is higher than what they had on the roster last year. I'll go that far with Eric Ebron. All right, coming up next, the typical going through and seeing what exactly happened in sports over the last 24 hours that you may have missed. Plus, I find myself rooting for one guy in particular, and I don't know if it's what I should be doing. I don't know if I should be rooting for this guy. And also, Sidney Crosby talked a little bit on a conference call yesterday, had a couple of things to say at least. I'll go over that as well. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. It is the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. Happy Friday to you, ending the work week. Hopefully it's been okay for you this week. And let's review some things that you may have missed in the sports world from yesterday.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
All right, got some league news. We had league news yesterday. We've got more of it today. First with Major League Baseball. So MLB and the MLBPA, they reached a tentative agreement. This according to the USA Today. Yesterday on what they say is key economic issues in hopes of salvaging the majority of the 162-game season. And this means even playing the World Series into late November, which I really... That bothers me to hear that. But anyway, I don't know if they can really, if there's a workaround at this point in trying to stuff as many games as you can and also having the season end at a reasonable time. So Major League Baseball owners will vote today to officially ratify this agreement. And that's with, according to two executives with knowledge of the negotiations telling USA Today Sports about this. And it includes a commitment from Major League Baseball and the players to play as close to a full regular season schedule as possible with games in October and a postseason in November. And I guess this is all still very contingent on when the season will actually start, which nobody really knows at this point. It's been kind of not confirmed, but an early June timeline or start time is... You know, what has been kind of agreed upon is something that makes sense for Major League Baseball. I don't know. I just fear that we're going to get into this thing and they're going to try to stuff close to 162 games in, whether that's 125, 130, 140, whatever. And then we're looking at, you know, November, like Thanksgiving, and we're still in the throes of the postseason. And I don't know. I mean, I think Major League Baseball already... has a tough time competing with the NFL in October. Like, I haven't looked back to see what the postseason numbers are from the past couple seasons, but I know that those NFL games still get, you know, huge ratings and something get much, much better ratings than, you know, individual games from the Major League Baseball season, postseason, even when it gets into the World Series. And now if you get into toward the holidays, toward Thanksgiving, I think those things are going to plummet even further. So that's kind of for a health of the league. And I know they're trying to make do with anything that they can during these times. But as far as TV ratings and total interest, whenever you get deeper and deeper into the NFL season, it's more and more where people aren't paying attention to baseball. And speaking of the NFL... Commissioner Roger Goodell, he told NFL teams yesterday that the draft will go on. It will go on as originally scheduled for next month. They're not moving it. April 23rd to the 25th. It won't be in Vegas. They'll scrap that whole dog and pony show that they were going to do and have it be more of a TV studio broadcast to go into war rooms. But it's on, and it's not changing. And I have a hard time getting all that upset about it, and I don't think people are going to be upset about it, really. Is it the NFL just kind of being greedy and having the spotlight and not wanting to change things and making their money off of, you know, the broadcast? Sure. Absolutely it is. I mean, that's pretty much every move is motivated by that in sports, but especially in the NFL. We've seen that. And I think it's a welcome sight for fans. I really do. Just like anything else, you have to change with the variables. Teams will have to change with not being able to scout as well. And, you know, all the different kind of difficulties that are being brought into this thing because of people not being able to travel and all that other stuff. But people just want to see new sports action. And the draft is new sports action. And the NFL is the only league that can provide that new sports action, and they know it. They know they're going to have all eyes on their product, maybe more so than ever. And so they're going to take advantage of that opportunity, and I have a hard time blaming Roger Goodell and the league for keeping it the same. I really do, because there seems to be a way to work around it. You don't necessarily have to have a bunch of people in one place for the NFL draft. And or at least you can spread them out 6 feet apart and socially distance and still have this thing go off as planned. And then finally, Deshaun Watson, I guess, is still making people go a little bit crazy. because he has now taken the 2020 athlete route of tweeting out vague things. Yesterday it was, never take advice from a person who don't love you. You gotta walk light. You gotta stay above water. And also it was, don't deal with the lies and the frauds. That's why I don't get involved. What's up? Question mark. So I guess people are still on this tip about him wanting to go to the Patriots and the Patriots calling him and wanting to work out a trade. It's just kind of nonsensical, really, because I feel like if Bill O'Brien actually did go through with a trade of Deshaun Watson, he would be met with a pink slip immediately. I mean, I know he traded DeAndre Hopkins and it made absolutely no sense, but you don't get rid of Deshaun Watson as well. I mean, come on, he's going to completely tear apart his team and the future of that team. And it will be interesting to see how far Watson goes with this, though. Like, how upset is this guy? And is he going to, you know, is this the start of a deterioration of that relationship? Maybe this is the last year in Houston that these two can kind of coexist. And honestly, if I were the Houston Texans organization and I had a chance to choose between Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson, I know where I'd be going. And it's not with the head coach. It's with that quarterback that can provide maybe a decade's worth of winning seasons at this point. All right, coming up next, I find myself rooting for one guy in particular, and I'm not really sure if I should be doing so. Maybe other people are in the same boat. As well as Sidney Crosby, he had some things to say. And could a shorter season actually benefit the Pittsburgh Pirates? I'll talk about all that next. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 5:30 here on this Friday morning. Reaching the end of the work week, hope you're doing okay. 9 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show, The Fort. Michael McHenry joins the show to talk about, well, what we're in for here for this Major League Baseball season. A guy who's now going to be in the booth calling games alongside Greg Brown, Joe Block next year and kind of filling in the role for Steve Blass and taking a bigger role there. He was also, you probably saw him tweeting about the 2013 wild card game and just his experiences with it and being a part of everything that was going on there at that time. So plenty of things to talk about with the Fort still. That's at 9 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show. So be listening for that as the guys continue to broadcast from their homes. Colin at his home, Chris at his home, Jim doing the updates from his as well. We're all spread out, still all coming together to do the Fan Morning Show today. All right, how about this from yesterday?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. There's no room. You know, and probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
That the voice of Mr. Bruce Arians, and you will hear more of that coming up on the Fan Morning Show after this. But I find myself, and he was talking about, of course, Antonio Brown being brought into Tampa Bay as the rumors swirled after Tom Brady was brought in there that AB was to follow, considering that relationship and considering the bromance, I guess, that Brady and AB have, but him squashing that bug. And that was from CBS Sports and Tiki and Tierney. I find myself rooting for Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay, which I'm conflicted about because, you know, I don't know if it's just because of the Steelers connection that he has and the fact that he was here and the, you know, the relationship he had with Ben Roethlisberger and all the work that he did as the OC of the Steelers, of course. I'm also conflicted because I really don't like Tom Brady. I really don't. And I want to root for Bruce Arians, though. But I don't know. I don't want them to be too good with Tom Brady in the mix. So I don't know how to feel about the Tampa Bay Bucs this year. And I wonder how much Bruce Arians, and this is kind of what I'm really intrigued by and really going to tune in for. I wonder how much Arians and Brady are going to feud. I'm interested to see how Tom Brady tries to use like the power moves coming into the organization, where if he feels like he is top dog over everybody, including Bruce Arians. And I think we might see a side of Tom Brady that we have never seen before or never had the opportunity to see before, because he was in New England and he was made to kind of fall in line with Bill Belichick. Like, there was another big, big presence in that organization throughout his time there. And of course, that's why, part of why, I think, he's even in Tampa Bay, because there was a power struggle there that no matter how much success Brady had, he still was never going to be, I guess, the guy without question, because Belichick was there. But now he can be. And how much does he take that on? How much does he say, you know what, this has to change, and I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it the way that I want it to be done. I already suffered through how many years of having to play second fiddle to a guy and run his system and not have any say, relatively, in what I wanted to do. And so now this is my time. I've gotten my money. This is my franchise. This is how things are going to be run. I really want to see if that happens. If there is some blow-ups on the sidelines between Arians and Brady going back and forth about what things, you know, how things are going, especially if they start to lose games to begin with. Because let's be honest here, and this is another dynamic to this whole thing, is that Tom Brady hasn't lost a whole lot of football games in his life and in his NFL career. He's not used to being 9-7, 8-8. That just didn't happen. And so what happens to him and his personality when that happens? I mean, even last year, whenever the Patriots were, where did they even go? 11-5, I think. And he didn't have the weapons around him. He got frustrated on the sidelines and blew up, quote unquote, blew up a couple times. So how much does that kind of personality come out with old TB12? That's what I'm really looking forward to in Tampa Bay. But I am, you know, if I have to pick between Arians and Brady, of course, I'm rooting for Bruce Arians to just kind of keep things in check with him. Also, Sidney Crosby. He spoke yesterday, just an overview of the situation going on in the NHL.
I'm in Pittsburgh right now. You know, I think like everyone else, just trying to, you know, to do what's recommended and stay patient. You know, it's not like anything I've ever experienced before. So, you know, just trying to make the best of it and do all we need to do here to get through it.
And he also said that while he isn't opposed to playing more regular season games, he would really, really love to see the postseason just start right back up. And of course he would. And Alex Ovechkin is also on this bandwagon of just going right into the postseason when we come out on the other side of this. And, I mean, of course that makes sense because, well, both of their teams are in the playoffs. Plus, I think they probably know they don't have much more time. Or at least they don't know how much more time they have. They most likely don't have double-digit years left of great production and shots toward a cup. And I'm talking about Ovechkin and Crosby. And this has to be killing Sid that this is even a remote possibility that this season will not continue and that they will just cancel it and not have a postseason and not have another opportunity at a Stanley Cup. And he's not going to go out and say that, of course, because he's not going to ruffle any feathers. Very rarely does Sidney Crosby say anything controversial. But this is what is about as close as we're going to get with him just kind of floating it out there of, hey, you know, I'd really, really love if they just, you know, ignored those last, how many, you know, 12 games or 10 games left in the regular season. And we just went right into the postseason with this thing. That's kind of what stuck out to me most from his conference call yesterday. And I'll wrap up today's show with a question of the day, as always. And you may not be in a workplace now where you can talk to coworkers or whatever, but hey, we still got, you know, texting, maybe family around, whatever, to get the conversation started with others today and throughout this weekend. And I saw this being kind of talked about on social media last night. Could a shorter season, and we don't know how much shorter it's going to be, whether it's 100 games, 125, whatever it is, 120, could a shorter season actually benefit the Pittsburgh Pirates? I'm not saying that I'm expecting the Pirates to be a playoff team because they play less games. All I'm saying is it's at least an interesting angle to this thing because things aren't decided as much after 100 games as they are after 162 games. Wacky things can happen. And maybe we see a team that comes out of nowhere that just plays well for a couple months. And playing well for a couple months means a heck of a lot more when you're only playing 100 games than 162 games. So maybe there's some kind of crazy scenario where the Pirates are at least hanging around 500, and who knows how many other teams would be hanging around 500 after 100 games, and at least makes the last month of the season more interesting. So could a shorter season actually benefit the Pirates in your mind, or are they just a complete lost cause for 2020, whether they play games or not? All right, that's it for me. Enjoy your weekend. I know there's a lot going on, and I'm thinking about a lot of people that are still working right now, and the schedules to, or the changes to the schedule that maybe haven't been quite there, and the people that are, of course, on the front lines for, you know, everything going on, you know, health-wise for this country and taking care of things. Thinking about those people a lot, and more importantly, praying for them as well. And so, and try to enjoy your weekend out there. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Sun Service Department, it's still open for all your automotive needs with pickup and drop-off available. Go to sunchevy.com for details. Today, mostly cloudy and a high of 62. And then tonight, heavy rain and a thunderstorm and a low of 52. Pre-show, it's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.